Yeah, I hope everybody had a wonderful day. Yesterday we talked about the insertion of Nachem into the Bracha Lushlaim Yircha, and why it's Nachem and not Rachem, and indeed why we are restricted to Mincha as opposed to including it as we put Yalav Yavo or Anenu in other tfilos of the day as well. I'd like to have a little bit of a different discussion, which is sort of a more fundamental one, and one that we're even fortunate to be having, which is the propriety of saying Nachem today. So I'm just going to read the text, and you'll see why this is a question. And it is, in fact, debated amongst the poskim as to exactly how we should go about reciting what was, for centuries and millennia, undoubtedly a very accurate description of the fate of Jerusalem. But those who have been privileged to be there since at least 1967, will think of a very different city as I read this bracha. Nachem Hashem Elokeinu Saveh Litzion Vesaveh Lushalayim. Hashem said, comfort those who mourn Zion in Jerusalem. Ves ho'ir ha'aveva echareva. The city that is mourning and destroyed. Bizuya, denigrated. Shomema, and completely desolate. Ha'aveva mibli baneha. Right, mourning without her son. We talked about that yesterday. V'sameach tzion b'baneha. A lot of Jewish people, thank God, living in Yerushalayim today. Right, the achareva mimonoseha, right, destroyed of all of her edifices. Habizuya mitvoda, denigrated of all her glory. Shomema me'en yoshev, right, and rests without anybody dwelling therein. Yotsheves verosha chapoi, she sits and her head is covered in mourning. Kiisha karash v'liyalada, terrible image. And the legions have consumed her, and those who are idolaters have conquered her, and the Jewish people are being destroyed by the sword. Therefore we should cry, Jerusalem should cry, heartaches, intestines, call out for those from our people who have been destroyed. Hashem be destroyed in the fire. So the Gemara Yuma, Daf Samach Tes, tells us that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were so called because they called the Kadosh Baruch Hu as Moshe did Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VeHanover. Because even though Moshe called them that, in subsequent generations, Nevi'im refused to call God Gadol Gibor HaNorah because they saw the Beis HaMikdash was ransacked, the Jewish people were being oppressed. So, for example, Yirmiyahu only referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as HaKel HaGadol HaGibor. Daniel only called HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKel HaGadol. And the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah came back and said, no, he's really Gadol Gibor HaNorah, because if he wasn't a gibor, they were saying ayek burosa, then a gibor is somebody who's able to restrain himself. He would destroy all the nations that desecrated the Beis HaMikdash. And if he wasn't Noah, if he wasn't so awesome, heyach uma achas yachulis kayim in umos, how could the Jewish people even survive? So they called him Mikael Gadol HaGibor Benorah. So after describing this, the Gemara says, well, what about Yirmiyahu and Daniel? Well, these Nevi'im, how come they didn't use the same words that Moshe uses to describe the Kadosh Baruch Hu in next week's parasha and parashas Bas Hanan? So the Gemara says the following. They knew that God is truth in his essence. Therefore, they weren't going to lie to him. They weren't going to try to flatter him. They didn't see things that way. So you can't say things that you think are shekhar. So, for example, Rav Gorin changed the text. He changed the text and said, we can't say that this is what Yerushalayim is in a post-1967 world. It's not Avela Mibli Banara. Hundreds of thousands of Jews in Yerushalayim. There's more Torah being printed in Yerushalayim today than at any point since the days of Bayis Sheni. Are we supposed to ignore these things and say it as if we're living in the 17th century? So Rav Gorin made a change of text. So Rav Chaim David Alevi, another one of the poskim, said, he added in one word. He did not want to tamper with the text of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So he says, you added one word, shahaisa, that was. Then you continue with all the following. And Rav Lichtenstein used to take out one line, right? He wouldn't say, he couldn't bring himself to say that, because, again, it's not reflected in the reality. On the other hand, There were many who felt that we can't make any change at all. Some for rather technical reasons, but the unchecked is like Nola made a takana, and so who are we to tamper with it? And, you know, therefore it will stand until, you know, the Sanhedrin is reconvened and they can decide to make whatever changes and emendations are necessary. There are those from the Datibu Mimachana, you know, this point a little bit less, to be honest, but they're saying that, no, you can't make any changes because there are still parts of Yerushalayim that, you know, Jews can't go freely. I mean, that is a fact. You know, certain quarters of the old city, let's say. But, again, it's hard for me to square that with the, you know, it doesn't say that there are certain neighborhoods here. It makes it sound like the entire city of Yerushalayim, you know, is completely desolate, and I don't think that does justice to the reality. So the Rav had a different approach. The Rav, as usual, didn't want to tinker at all with the text, but he explained it based on Lumpus, as we started to talk about yesterday. So he talked about yesterday the idea, trying to make the argument, that the reason that we insert Nafnaim into the Yerushalayim Yircha, not like the Yerushalmi says, into Shomei Tfilah, is really because there's Kedusha Achas, that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash and the Kedusha of Yerushalayim are one and the same. So this Brach, which talks about the idea of restructuring, Kedush Baruch Hu bringing us back to Beis HaMikdash, Uve'esh Atas Yidifnosa, really belongs to the Brach of Yerushalayim Yircha, because both the Mikdash and Yerushalayim have Kedusha Sashchina. That's the Rambam's position. Therefore, Kedusha Sashchina, as we spoke about yesterday, Eina B'Tela. So the Rambam made the following argument. He said, of course, look around. Yerushalayim is not the same city it was in 1966, or in 1926, or in 1885, right? It's not the same city, but as long as the Beis HaMikdash isn't built, it's considered as if Yerushalayim is still desolate, because the Kedushas HaMikdash and Kedushas Yerushalayim are really one and the same. So as long as there's not a Beis HaMikdash, we can say these things about Yerushalayim with truth to them, right? It's not a problem of, you know, Nira Kishakya or anything like that, Nefsi Kishakra, Kishikra, because ultimately the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Kedusha of the Mikdash are one and the same. There's a final position which I think also has a lot of higayon, has a lot of rationale to it, that there are those who say, you know, whatever you want to do in your private Shmon Esrei, that's your business. Whatever you can bring yourself, you know, to say. But in terms of the way that the Shliach Tzibur should say it, the Shliach Tzibur should say it, you know, the way that we have it from the object of the Sagadola, then, God willing, when we merit seeing the days of the Eish Ata Atik Nosa, when we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, Toma Revi, Toma Chamishi, Toma Shvi, Toma Asiri, Yela Beis Yehuda, L'Sasan, L'Simcha, we can look forward to having this prayer, you know, overturned in the final sense of the term.